In life, in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, happy Friday to you. I hope you're having a good day, and a lot to talk about here on Free For All Friday, which means we're just going to go through a lot of different stories here on the air today, and a lot of things from overseas and what's going on over there. This all kind of took flight on New Year's Eve, and what's going on with the massive influx of Muslims, and specifically in this case, Muslim men, and all kinds of sexual assault and crazy rape type stuff going on over there. And is there a correlation? Well, we're going to read some of those stories from the Daily Mail, which is a big web presence and a newspaper over there in the UK. And then that will jump across the pond. Two Mideast refugees arrested on terror charges appearing in U.S. courts. They were here. 23-year-old, what's his name? It's a long name. Ouz Muhammad Yunus Al-Jayeb of Sacramento, California. And then in Houston, federal authorities announced the arrest of Omar Faraj Saeed Al-Hardin, 24, on charges of attempting to provide materials to support to ISIS. And then on the heels of that, I don't know if you heard about this in Pennsylvania, a Philadelphia officer is sitting in a marked police cruiser, and a Muslim guy in the name of ISIS shot at him 13 times, hit him 3 times in the arm, and he flat out claimed that he did it for the cause of Islam. So we're going to talk about that. And then out of that one, we're going to roll into an interesting article here and we're in a dangerous place here is when we talk about what's going on with certain Muslims around the world, because you can start to sound like we're going back to the days of World War II and Japanese internment camps and what Donald Trump said recently, and he doubled down on it in his ad that just started playing up in Iowa about let's keep all the no more Muslims coming in here. No more Muslims. Forget it. Just shut off the spigot. No more Muslims coming into America until we can, to use Donald's phrase, figure this out. Meaning, how do we determine which ones are our friends and which ones are our foes? And so there's an interesting Pew research that showed what's going on with the Muslim population in America over the next 20 to 30 years. That's a real eye-opener. And trying not to be paranoid, trying not to paint with a broad brush here. We've talked about this many times on Call to Action, and we'll continue to do so, and I try to do it carefully, to be truthful and to show grace and to be accurate and not to kind of blow it all out of proportion. But we talked earlier in the week about the difference between Sunnis and Shias, which goes all the way back to the death of Muhammad, a 1,400-year-old conflict. And you've got a certain percentage, thankfully, at this point, a large percentage of Muslims worldwide who are good, decent, law-abiding people that just want to make money, take care of their families, and live a peaceful coexistence kind of life. Now, for that, I think that's because they're mostly secular Muslims. They're not really reading the book and following the man, because if you read the books, starting with the Quran and the Hadith and so on, and then if you follow the example of the man being Muhammad, you're going to end up just like ISIS. And not Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda had a lot of financial backing, and it was kind of a movement of some rich Saudis, including none other than Osama bin Laden himself. But when you get into ISIS, it's not about money. They need money. They have oil now with all the land they've captured, and they need money to fund their terrorist and eschatological end times vision. But they're not in it for the money per se. So that's where you get a difference between ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And it's very serious. And so a certain percentage of them being Muslims worldwide, are people that you cannot negotiate with them. You cannot seek peace with them. You can't have an accord with them. They either will kill you or you have to kill them. And that's what we see going on in the Middle East. And now we see some things showing up. And this is not new information in terms of what's going on in Great Britain and certain parts of Europe, where there's already some areas where Sharia law is enforced. And there's parts of London where the police don't really go. And that kind of stuff's going on. And now with the massive influx of mostly Muslim refugees going into Europe, this story that I'm going to read to you from the Daily Mail, it's very sobering. You have to keep your eyes on the prize. You have to look for the facts. You don't want to blanket and paint with a broad brush, because not all Muslims are a problem. But all terrorists are Muslims. And we've learned that. Okay, that's just reality. We've seen it. That's what's going on. Those are the facts on the ground. And so you have to, and we talked about this before, if we're going to bring a crate in with 100 snakes and 8 of them or 10 of them or 20 of them are poisonous, are you going to let the crate of snakes in your house? Well, 80 out of 100, Steve, they're not going to harm you. You know, you pick them up and have fun and enjoy that. 20%, you know, 20 of them, they'll kill you. So do you open the crate in the first place? And that's why Donald Trump's comments about keeping all the Muslims out in the time being, no more Muslim immigration coming in here until we, quote unquote, figure this out, rings true with a lot of people. So we're going to go through these different articles because it's very important. And again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. I am not afraid of Muslims. I'm not even, because I'm a Christian, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, born again, my future is assured. I'm, you know, you're talking to basically listening to a dead man. I'm dead to the world. I'm alive in Christ. I have my future set. And so I'm not freaking out about offending Muslims. I have to be, you know, watchful and careful. I have a wife and 4 children, and I need to be responsible there. But I'm not going to, you know, shut down because I worry about crazy radical Muslims out there who I really don't think are that crazy or radical in terms of what Islam teaches. But we have to be aware of it. We have to talk about it. And we have to pay attention. We cannot be ignorant. We can't be ignorant. If we're going to love our neighbor well, which would include our own families, we have to pay attention to these things. And this is a threat. It is a real, tangible threat. It's a threat overseas, and it is a threat here in the United States of America. And in order to love our neighbors well, which would include our own families, we need to pay attention. So we're going to talk about that. I want to play this ad from Marco Rubio. This is a new ad that – this is the most evangelistic – ad I've ever heard, especially from a national candidate, a congressional level or a presidential level candidate, basically, essentially, sharing the gospel in a 30-second ad. Now, yes, he's playing it up in Iowa and he's playing to the evangelicals, and that's great, but it's still there. It's still on the air, and it's out there for all his opposition to grab a hold of. And it's just not just amazing, it was encouraging. So I want to play that for you. I want you to hear that. I mentioned earlier in the week, these two televangelist guys, Kenneth Copeland and this other guy, Jesse, whatever his name is, I don't know him, and to listen to them making their argument about why they fly around in private jets, that should put a smile on your face and a tear in your eye. And then something that Planned Parenthood's never done before, but they did it for the first time in 100 years. I want to share that with you as well. Plenty to talk about. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today, and we will be right back after this short break. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Great to be with you as always. Thank you for your time and for being here on the air with me today. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about this Islam ISIS situation, what's going on in Europe and what's going on right here in the United States of America. We're going to continue to sound the alarm there. And again, I'm not sounding an alarm about all 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 billion Muslims around the world, but I think we can sound the alarm about 15 to 25% of them based on everything I've studied and read in the last several years. It looks like that 15-20%, that 20%, you're talking about 300 million people. You're talking about the same population as the United States of America. And when you've got 2 to 300 million people around the world who would rather kill you than live side by side with you, you have to pay attention to them. And we can't have the Neville Chamberlain pre-World War II, 1939, 1938, don't worry about Germany. Let's just appease them, give them a little land here and there, let them do their thing. They're never going to be a problem over here in Great Britain. And then, of course, they're never going to be a problem over here in the United States of America. And the next thing you know, you give rise to the Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. And you get World War II and everything else that goes along with it. When you sit around and do nothing, remember the old Edmund Burke quote? I mean, that's the quote that really started to give birth to Call to Action in the first place back in 2004 when we first got started as a Christian grassroots activism organization, which was all that is necessary for evil to advance is for good men to do nothing. So when you think that that ISIS is just going to be satisfied with what they're doing in Syria and Iraq and to a certain extent in Afghanistan and some of the other countries in the Middle East, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And they're not that because that's not part of their theology. That's not part of their worldview. Their worldview is absolute world domination to take it all over. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. He shares that we share the gospel. He makes the gospel available to all. You're not forced to accept it. You either do or you don't. And in the end, he'll come back and there'll be a final judgment. But for the Muslims, with their end times theology. No, you take over now. You just have this worldwide massive takeover. And then in the end, Muhammad comes back. Jesus is his sidekick, his enforcer. And that's when they, you know, get to the ultimate paradise there. So it's by the sword, by subjugation. For us, it's just invitation. So the biblical theology, the only true theology, is a peaceful solution to an eternal problem. But for Islam, it's by the sword. Watch Muhammad. What did Muhammad do? WWMD. What would Muhammad do? And then you see ISIS. So let's go through that. We're going to talk about that. Then the Hillary thing, which has something to do with Planned Parenthood, which is really disgusting. The Marco Rubio ad, which is the most evangelistic ad from a presidential candidate I've ever heard. And then what's going on with a couple other things. I want to talk about the guns issue. Okay, we're going to get there because there's some things that whole thing, listening to part of, I've listened to a lot of clips from last night, the CNN thing with Obama and several people there. I mean, give Anderson Cooper and those folks some credit, because there were plenty of opposition that got up and spoke against the president. And without a teleprompter, he's just a mumbly pumbly mess. I think he's horrible on his feet. And a terrible communicator, yada, 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 humana, humana, humana. It's just painful. But to listen to the president talk about guns, I put this thing up on my Facebook page the other day, just a little cartoon. You call them, you know, it's like a political cartoon. And it's been seen, I think, let me look at it right quick. I think it was like 18,000 people have looked at it off the Facebook page. And that really sets the tone for me when I'm listening to the president say anything about guns, because in my mind, he has absolutely no moral authority whatsoever. So every time he utters anything about guns, he's duplicitous. He's got no moral authority. And I'll explain that when we get to the end of the show. Okay. So here's from the Daily Mail. This is what was going on over in Europe. Germany revealed the organized Arab and North African sex gangs, which terrorized more than 100 women in Cologne, blocked officers from helping distressed victims. So you had this 106 women reported being assaulted in Cologne on New Year's Eve. There's a professor talking about the influx of young males. So over in Europe, they're going, well, there's too many males coming in, because they're so politically correct. They're so postmodern, post-Christian, that they don't go anywhere near the reality of these males are Muslims, and they're radical Muslims who don't have a problem with sex slavery and sex assault, because neither did Muhammad. But they just say, oh, there's too many men here. It's crazy. So Germany revealed the organized Arab and North African sex gangs, which terrorized more than 100 women in Cologne, blocked officers from helping distressed victims. The chilling police report describes women being forced to run through a gauntlet of drunken men while officers themselves were mobbed by victims claiming they had been sexually assaulted. But the problem is now believed to be far more widespread than initially thought. Today, and this article came out yesterday, it emerged identical sex gangs are operating in neighboring Austria, while more than 150 women across five German cities have reported attacks. And in Switzerland, six women reported identical crimes in Zurich on New Year's Eve, while Finnish police intercepted information suggesting the attacks were planned. So you start reading down the row here on all these different stories. There's a lot of different information out there on the internet about it right now. And it's talking about that most of these people, it would appear, because they're so PC over there. No, it's just like it happened over here in America with the San Bernardino shooters, that the neighbor thought there was something going on, but because they were obviously Muslim, he was afraid to report it. And you read all these ridiculous people over there who are acknowledging the fact that these sexual exploits and sexual harassment and abuse and rape is happening, and it's happening at the hands of what they say is they're darker, you know, they don't look like they're quite European, they're foreign looking men, one quote is. But then when they actually talk to some of these people, it's just crazy. It's just when you start reading them, when some of these people they're talking to, when they're grabbing some of these folks, it's they're just right in their face. Not hiding the fact, in one incident logged by officers, a man told police, I'm from Syria. You need to treat me nicely. I was personally invited by Mrs. Merkel. That's the chairman of Germany, who has an open, total open border policy. I think in the last year or two, they've had over 1 million people come in from the Middle East. And if 15, let's say 10% of them are quote unquote radicalized Muslims, fundamental Muslims, that's 100,000 people. And now you're starting to see it in all these sexual assaults, and they're organized, and they're gangs of roving marauders. And they're trying to dance around it, saying, oh, it's foreign. Well, they're foreign-looking men. They're not coming out right away and saying, it's these people. But listen to this. A 24-year-old man from Afghanistan was grabbed by bouncers at a nightclub after a 28-year-old woman from Salzburg was reportedly assaulted by him. In another case, a 28-year-old, also from Afghanistan, shortly after midnight, had attacked a woman from Salzburg after grabbing her off of her scooter. And over again, it says Arab or North African origin. So darker, not European. And where are they coming from? That's right. All the immigration. And that's why Donald Trump can get away with what he's saying. Because most people in America, whether they admit it publicly or not, are like, yep, this is a problem. So let's come across the pond here. Two Mideast refugees arrested on terror charges appearing in U.S. courts. This is from Fox News. Two men born in Iraq who came to the U.S. as refugees were set to appear in court Friday on terror-related charges in California and Texas. As investigators say, one of the men wrote that he wanted to travel to Syria because he was eager to see blood. A criminal complaint unsealed Thursday accused 23-year-old Owls Muhammad Yusa Al-Jayeb of Sacramento, California, of traveling to Syria to fight. The other guy in Houston, federal authorities grabbed him on charges of attempting to provide material support to ISIS. He was the 80th person charged under the federal law in an ISIS-related case since 2013 and the first in 2016, the new year. In addition to writing that he was eager to see blood, this other guy, Al-Jayeb, also claimed that he wanted to learn long-range shooting and that God had facilitated his travels, court documents show. And we've talked about this before. The FBI currently tracking about 1,000 ISIS-related individuals. Where? In Syria? No. Afghanistan? No. Germany? No. Great Britain? No. The United States of America. We need to wake up and pay attention. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. C2AToday.com is the website. The letter C, the number 2, the letter A, as in called to action, C2AToday.com. We're going to be flipping the switch here in the next couple of weeks, definitely this month, with a brand new website, podcasting, all kinds of great stuff there. Going to be sharing the stories that I'm using during the show, and we have an author on like we did yesterday, Bruce Ashford with the book One Nation Under God. We'll have that information there. And then we'll have some things. We're going to have just kind of regular breaking news type issues that we hear about every day. But also we're going to have a section for really Christian news, which will be some of that. We'll be overlapping, but with a decidedly evangelical, biblical worldview attached to it. And some other things that are just really going to be more important to you as a follower of Jesus Christ than it would be to somebody that's maybe lives next door that isn't a follower of Christ, doesn't have a biblical worldview. And so we're going to have those there. I'm also going to make a point on the homepage. One of the sections is going to be some encouraging and uplifting stories. We are down in the muck all the time, are we not? And just think about this in a Sunday school class. If you do that, or in a small group, we ask for prayer requests. We almost never ask for praises. And if you ask for praise, hey, anybody want to share a praise? In a big group, you're going to be surprised. That's a lot of people. It's going to be like pulling teeth. But when we have our concerns, man, that all comes out. And the news is like that. We don't hear often enough about some good things going on. Listen, there's a lot of garbage in the world. Absolutely. And sometimes it looks like evil is winning. Evil is not winning. God is waiting. And every moment God waits is mercy. But he's also working. There's all kinds of great things going on in the body of Christ, around the world, in the kingdom, all around the world, even in the Middle East, even in the midst of all this garbage, even in America. God is doing awesome things, like coming up on March 6th with our friends at Harvest Crusades and Harvest America and Pastor Greg Laurie. Could be the largest nationwide evangelistic event in the history of the country on Sunday, March 6th, live from AT&T Stadium in Dallas, which is where the Cowboys play, the biggest venue we've ever done anything in at Harvest. It's a 100,000-seat venue. But you can also take part in that live crusade via the Internet. You can Roku channel online. You can have a crusade in your family room. With your children, with your neighbors, with friends, have a barbecue, a cookout, make dinner, whatever. And you can be a part of that for free. It doesn't cost you anything. And probably the most effective evangelist of the modern day right now in America is Greg Laurie. And that's an awesome thing. Now, there's bad news things going on, and we talk about that. But there's awesome things going on, too. And I'm going to play that Marco Rubio ad for you in a minute because it's awesome. It was very encouraging to me to see it because it could definitely cost him. And the cynical side goes, well, I mean, he is in third place. So what? That doesn't mean he's out, not this early. And the fact that he did it was just, it was really encouraging to me, so I'll share that with you in a minute. Let me get through these last two things. The suspect who police say ambushed a Philadelphia officer sitting in a marked police cruiser, shooting him multiple times, said he committed his crime in the name of Islam. Officer Jesse Hartnett was in stable condition at a hospital Friday, police said. The police fired the suspect fired a total of 13 shots, according to Police Commissioner Richard Ross. At least three bullets struck the officer in his left arm. Hartnett returned fire, hitting his attacker at least three times. Ross added, quote, "This is absolutely one of the scariest things I've ever seen. This guy tried to execute the police officer. The police officer had no idea he was coming." That's what the leader, Police Commissioner Ross said. Just a scary story. And we've seen things like this happen around the country. Now listen to this. This goes to the gun thing. And by the way, you want to know where the gun came from? They just figured this out. You know where the gun came from? A 9mm Glock 17 had been stolen from the police in 2013. Evil exists. Bad people will get guns regardless of the law. That's why they're bad people. They don't care about the law. Law-abiding good people care about the law. And the more you restrict that, the only people you're harming are the good people. And so good people, good guys and gals with guns versus bad guys and gals with guns, or just bad guys and gals with guns. What sounds like a better mix to you? But that's where that gun came from. So listen to this. Jim Kenney, who is in his first week as mayor of the nation's fifth largest city, this is Philadelphia, said, "There are just too many guns on the streets, and I think our national government needs to do something about that." Well, the only guns that was a problem in this case, sir, was a police gun. You want to take those off the street? Yeah, maybe he does. But look at that. It's not about Islam. It's not about Allah. It's not about Muhammad. Oh, there's just too many guns on the streets. No, there's psycho people who read the book and follow the man, and then they want to execute non-Muslims. That's what it is. Here's this last one. Islam set to become the second largest religion in America by 2040. The American Muslim population stands a strong chance of doubling in size by 2050 and becoming the second largest religion by 2040, based on new estimates from the Pew Research Center. At the moment, and again, I'm not blanket painting with a large brush here, okay? Most Muslims, great, wonderful people. I've been to Northern Iraq myself. Most Muslims, in my personal experience, are like cultural Muslims, like most Americans would say they're Christians, but they're really cultural Christians. So they're kind of Muslim by upbringing and by culture, but they're not practicing. It's not a big deal. But they're Muslims, and they're loyal to it. But they're not practicing, okay? They're not down deep into the theology of Islam. Pew believes there's approximately 3.3 million Muslims living in the United States. Given the U.S. population, this means that Muslims currently comprise 1%. But by 2050, Pew thinks that Muslims will surge to about 8.1 million. Part of the reason for that surge, listen to this, is due to Muslim immigration, Pew noted, since about 10% of all legal immigrants are Muslim. And that's why when Trump says, let's not let any Muslims in the time being until we figure this out, that's why it resonates. Another is because Muslim families, listen to this, tend to have far more children than the average, which is the case in Europe as well. Mark Stein, who often, he's got a British accent, he's from Canada, often sits in for Rush, several years ago wrote an incredible book about what was happening in Europe just based on population. And he was saying 60, 70, 80 years later, Islam will be the dominant religion in Europe and they won't fire a shot. How will they do it? By making babies. Because on average, they're 4 or 5 a family. But in Europe, which is postmodern, post-Christian, all about me, they have fewer and fewer children. We're starting to do that in America. And the people that propagate more just start taking over by simple procreation. That's why I'm proud to be a homeschooler. We reproduce like rats. Even before that, however, Islam itself is projected to become the second largest religion in the U.S. by 2040. So let's move on. But the one thing I want to say about this, all this bad news about Islam and kind of radical, quote unquote, radical Muslims and all that stuff. Listen, we should continue to pray fervently for Muslims, radical and otherwise. Absolutely. Because when you look at the news and you go dig down into the Christian news, you'll see that God's doing amazing things in the Middle East. Dreams, visions, people coming to Christ. It's amazing. The guy that we had, a young man from Pakistan, came to Christ through a visitation in Pakistan. He shared his testimony with us at Called to Worship last year. And God's doing amazing things over there. So let's keep praying. God can save anything. Paul was persecuting the church and killing Christians, and then he wrote 60% of the New Testament. God can save anybody. Don't forget that. It could be your son or daughter, by the way, or your spouse or your friend or your mother or your father or family member. God can, that's his desire, that none should perish. So let's not give up praying for Muslims. God is saving even the radicals. Let's make sure we're sharing the gospel, not, and remember, most Muslims, especially here in the American context, they're cultural Muslims, like most Americans are cultural Christians. You share the actual gospel with most Americans? Like, I was like this. I didn't know what it was. I didn't get it. But I said I was a Christian. I was wrong. All right, I'm going to play this for you. This is Marco Rubio's ad. This is awesome. And he just started playing this out in Iowa, and he just comes right out with it.
Our goal is eternity, the ability to live alongside our Creator for all time, to accept the free gift of salvation offered to us by Jesus Christ. The struggle on a daily basis as a Christian is to remind ourselves of this. The purpose of our life is to cooperate with God's plan. To those who much has been given, much is expected. And we will be asked to account for that. Were your treasures stored up on earth or in heaven? And to me, I try to allow that to influence me in everything that I do. I'm Marco Rubio, and I approved of this message.
Hey, you know what, Marco? I'm Steve Noble, and I approve of that message, too. And the Lord Jesus Christ approves of that message, too. That's awesome. That's so awesome. I'm going to play it again.
Our goal is eternity, the ability to live alongside our Creator for all
preach time, it
to accept the free gift of salvation
amen
offered to us by Jesus Christ. Us by the struggle on a daily basis as a Christian is to remind ourselves of this. The purpose of our life is to cooperate with God's plan. To those who much has been given, much is expected. And we will be asked to account for that. Were your treasures stored up on earth or in heaven? And to me, I try to allow that to influence me in everything that I do. I'm Marco Rubio, and
you
I...
You see, that's 30 seconds, really 25, 26 seconds. In 26 seconds, he shares the gospel, the plan of salvation, and then he deals with sanctification and what you should be doing with your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's running for the presidency on the Republican side in the primary, and he's number 3 in the polls. And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. I don't agree with a lot of things of Marco's past politically and some of the things he stands for today. I'm kind of a Ted Cruz guy. But that one right there, I'm like, you know what? Praise the Lord. He's my brother in Christ. From everything I've learned and everything I've heard out of his own lips, both on in person and online and in news things and the different events he's been at, I'm thoroughly convinced that guy's my brother in Christ. And so when he stands up and does this, he's willing to lose. I love that. Because where's his ultimate allegiance? Is it to the office? Is it to his political expediency or his political career? No, his obvious number one allegiance is to his Lord and Savior. And to that I say amen. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? I might play it one more time before we finish the show. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. When we come back, something that Planned Parenthood's never done before, which is hard to believe because they have no resistance to any evil. But this one's just amazing, which is why elections have consequences. We'll be right back. Oh, that's some perfect dark music for this next story. Because any story involving Planned Parenthood should have pretty dark music until the day that they're shut down and incarcerated. And then we can play all kinds of hymns and celebratory. We'll play Celebration, the old Cool and the Gang song. We'll break that out. But right now, this is that was appropriate music for this story out of the Christian Post. This just broke Friday, January 8th. Planned Parenthood backs Hillary Clinton in first ever presidential endorsement. So you sit there and go, well, no, that Planned Parenthood backs Hillary Clinton. But the thing you got to realize here, this is really interesting. I didn't know this. Planned Parenthood has never officially endorsed a presidential candidate. Planned Parenthood announced its endorsement of Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton. The endorsement is the first in the largest abortion provider's roughly 100-year existence. Listen to this quote. Hillary Clinton holds the strongest record on reproductive rights, killing babies, of all presidential contenders in not just this election, but in American history. You can hear the demons just laughing. She doesn't just support women's health. She has been a proactive leader on expanding access to women's health care, stated Planned Parenthood Federation of America. We live in an era where access to birth control, abortion, and services at Planned Parenthood are under unprecedented attack. Our murderous practices and then chopping up babies and selling their parts for profit is under unprecedented attack. And to that I say, praise the Lord. With so much at stake, we can't afford to have a president who continues these attacks, or who won't stand strong and fight against them, no matter what. Wow. So Hillary Clinton, who is enamored with Margaret Sanger, just enamored. They gave her the Margaret Sanger Award a few years back. Margaret Sanger wanted to kill every Negro on the planet. And I use that word purposely. Margaret Sanger, total eugenics, psychopath, pawn of Satan. Totally. Just totally depraved. Retarded people, I use that word because she used it. Indigent, stupid, mentally handicapped in any way, shape, or form, physically handicapped, and especially black. Kill them all. The eugenics thing came out of the Civil War. Because all of a sudden you had all these new citizens, right? They get their freedom, as they should have. And now you've got this influx of new American citizens. And at first they're like, well, maybe we need to send them all back. And they realized they couldn't do that, and they had to assimilate them into the culture. So she goes, well, here's a plan. Let's not assimilate them. Let's eliminate them. That's Planned Parenthood. That's what it was born out of. And now they're dog in the hunt, Hillary Clinton. So I don't care if it's Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, or Donald Trump. I'll be a big Donald Trump fan if he wins the nomination against Hillary Clinton all day long. It's just so sick. Planned Parenthood. And of course, Obama just vetoed today. They finally got both the House and the Senate to pass a repeal of Obamacare, sent it to his desk, which also included a defunding of Planned Parenthood. And of course, he vetoed it. Of course. And don't stop praying for the president and even people like Hillary Clinton. They're not beyond God's grasp. I know that sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, forget it, Lord. Forget it. Let them get what they deserve. Except, there goes me too. Let me get what I deserve. Not compared to Hillary Clinton. I've never been an endorser, a lover of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger and killing babies. But I've violated God's sanctimony and God's law and God's moral universe over and over and over again. I get what I deserve. So I don't put myself any higher on a pedestal than our president or Hillary Clinton. The difference is I'm saved and I'm being sanctified. But man, that was just so sick to see that one. All right, you got to hear this. This is a couple of televangelists making the case for why they fly around on private jets. Okay, this is talk about sanctified. Not check this out.
Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have the mess that the airlines are in today. I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing.
And to that, I'm like, amen. these robber barons, false prophets running around the world preying on people that are in broken circumstances and raising all kinds of money, enough money to then fly around in their private jets. I wish it would cease 80, 90, 100% of what you're doing. Just pathetic.
Because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
So and this was such a good illustration. I just illustrated.
What do we do before jets? How did the gospel get anywhere? How did God get anything done without a Gulfstream? My goodness.
The Lord impressed me. That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
to God. Can. We, it's true.
It's when I was flying for Oral Roberts, Brother DeWeese, my boss on the airplane, he said, "Now Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on Brother Roberts.
But
it protects the anointing on Brother Roberts. The plane, being in a plane away from those ragtag sinner people, protects the anointing on Oral. Are you kidding me? This is how twisted anybody can become. Anybody. This is how twisted that the human heart can get. And then follow that with the mind. And then you start twisting all this stuff. He goes on to talk about, this is really, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm not going to play it all. But he goes on to talk about, I mean, it's rare that I, like, am speechless. But in this case, I'm almost speechless. They go on talk about that you get in that tube. They're talking about a commercial jet. You get in that tube full of demons. They actually said that. A tube full of demons. I'm like, Jesus is thinking that's a tube full of people that need to hear about me. Oh my Lord, help me that I don't have to. I got to fly down to Atlanta next week. I can't believe I got to get on that tube full of demons. And I might actually have to sit next to somebody that doesn't know the Lord and might think they're a Christian, but doesn't know what it actually means to go to heaven and to be born again. God forbid that I have to sit next to those demons. Oh my goodness. But I'm not their judge. But I can judge the actions. I can't judge their hearts, but I can judge their actions. I can judge their fruit. We're called to judge righteously, and their fruit stinks. Okay, let's go to this. Let's finish up with the president's gun thing. I listened to a bunch of clips from last night, and it's just sickening. And, of course, you know, about 80% of Democrats believe him and agree with him. Interestingly enough, about in the poll that came out this morning, about 50% of Republicans polled were like, yeah, we need to do more strict background checks. We've got to try to make sure criminals and crazy people aren't getting guns. And that all is logical and everything. And okay, fine, we can have that discussion. If you start limiting the Second Amendment, yeah, you got a problem constitutionally, all right? But here's the little cartoon I put up on Facebook, and you should go look at it and share it, because people need to be confronted with this reality of our president. And it would be the same thing with Hillary Clinton, by the way. So here's the little cartoon. It's got Obama on the left and Obama on the right. It's a little cartoon. And he's standing at the lectern, and on the lectern says gun control on it, and he says the following: if there's a step we can take to save even one child, we should take that step. And in the other side of the picture, now, the lectern that he's standing out doesn't say gun control. It says Planned Parenthood. And then the little dialogue bubble above his head says, never mind. So when it comes to gun control, if there's a step we can take to save even one child, we should take that step. On the other side, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, never mind. So you want to talk to me, sir, and my fellow citizens about the immorality of gun violence and murder. And if you can change the laws and usurp the Second Amendment to save even one child, it's worth it. 57 million at the hands of the abortuaries and the child murdering abortionists. 57 million, that blood all over our country. 57 million, and you do nothing. You do something. Actually, you don't do nothing. You do something. You promote it. You clap for it. You say, God bless Planned Parenthood. You fund Planned Parenthood. You do everything in your power, sir, to make sure Planned Parenthood gets $500 million of our tax money every year. And then you want to talk to me about gun violence. Friend, that I'm talking to you now, not the president. That he has no moral authority whatsoever. The same thing I see on Facebook, and I say it every time. Somebody wants to start talking to me, and they're wrong on the life issue. They're wrong, period. They have no moral authority. Their compass is so far off, it's worthless. And they want to lecture me about anything else? Sit down and shut up. You have no moral authority whatsoever. So the president, who's all for over 1 million babies a year still being butchered in the United States of America, all for it, celebrate it. God bless you, Planned Parenthood. Make sure they've got all kinds of cash. Fight tooth and nail for him. It's sick. It's depraved. This is a man who his heart and his mind need to be totally overcome by the love and grace and forgiveness and truth of Jesus Christ himself. I'll leave you with this. I met a black pastor from Chicago several years ago. We were on a panel discussion together, and a cute little girl in the audience who happened to be white asked if Obama, this was probably 2009, asked if he was a Christian. This black pastor had known Obama for years. He said, little girl, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you this. I've spent a lot of time with our president. Here's what I think. I think Jesus Christ himself would have to walk into the Oval Office like he did with the Apostle Paul. He'd have to walk into the Oval Office and confront our president in order for our president to become a born-again Christian. And I'm not throwing down the Trump card right now. Poor use of the phrase. I'm expressing gospel sadness and the sadness of our Father who doesn't desire that any should perish, but that all should come to faith. I'm expressing it's sad and heartbreaking that the president can go bonkers about the Second Amendment to save one life, but he doesn't do anything about the outright murder pointed right at the least of these. The unborn child, created in the image of God, right in its mother's womb. You wonder what judgment looks like in the United States of America? That's what it looks like. God bless you. Thanks for listening. God willing, I'll talk to you again on Monday.